Welcome to Signs of Life, exploring survival of consciousness. Brought to you by Forever Family Foundation, on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
I call your name, the echo is haunting, the echo is always the same. I call your name, the echo is haunting, an echo can never be changed, so I call your name, your name.
Hello, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Signs of Life Radio's Medium Insights Hour, part of the many amazing services provided by the Forever Family Foundations, where we get to explore the mindsets of accomplished spiritual mediums on a variety of topics that are related to the study of consciousness, spirituality, and the afterlife. My name is Roman Karpyshka, and again, I'm back for another month, as your host tonight. I will have the privilege of conversing with the awesomely gifted medium by the name of Doreen Molloy. Doreen is the author of Proof Positive, Metaphysical Wisdom, and has a private practice in Union City, New Jersey as a psychic medium. She also teaches workshops on psychic development, mediumship development, and introduction to tarot. Some of her abilities include remote viewing, clairvoyance, clairaudience, clairsentience, and psychometry. She also has a book. I'm not sure if it came out yet, but it's coming out very soon if it hasn't. It's called Mass Deception. She is a research medium with the Winbridge Institute and is certified by the Forever Family Foundation and sits on the FFF's Medium Advisory Board. She's also a certified grief recovery specialist and is the host of Media Messages on the show, the Media Messages show on Signs of Life. So, if anybody needs to get a hold of her, probably the best way to do that is on her website at www.doreenmolloy.com. And it sounds exactly what it's spelt like. So our show is sponsored by a fine levy of supporters such as the Kamluck Center, Love Knows No Death, Janet Mayer, Hugs from Heaven, Lloyd Auerbach, Dr. Parisietti, and many others. As our opening topic tonight, what we're going to be discussing is grief from the perspective of a medium and a grief recovery specialist, meaning grief from Doreen's perspective. But again, dear listeners, tonight's show, there's no readings. We're just doing it to conduct research for informational purposes, and your questions are always more than welcome. But please keep in mind that Doreen will not be performing any readings tonight, okay? So if you have any questions for our esteemed guest, please feel free to call. The number to call is 1-800-627-6008. That's 1-800-627-6008. So Doreen, welcome to the show. This time as an interviewee, I believe the last time that we had you on the show, it was like in February of 2019. What have you been up to since then?
Oh, my gosh. Well, Roman, it's great to speak to you. I can't
Thank
believe
you
it's
so
been
much.
That long. Well, what have I been up to? I don't know. When you read all those things off, you made me sound so very busy. So I think I've been up to a lot.
I guess you are. I'm sure you are busy.
But, same old, same old. I have my practice, and, I love doing some work with Forever Family Foundation. As you know, I have the Medium and Messages show, so I'll be on next week. And,
oh, great.
We just, take it one day at a time, especially during this time period where things are a little bit in upheaval,
Oh, I know. I'm still calling this the zombie apocalypse. That's what I call it.
Yeah, that's a good name for it, I think.
Yeah, there's a lot of zombies out there, especially, with everything that's been recently going on.
Oh, my gosh.
Destroying things and everything. Anyways, it's crazy. It's crazy what the human race is capable of.
Yes, it is, but hopefully things will right themselves soon. Let's hope.
Yeah, well, I hope so. So, listen, our main topic is grief and grief and recovery from a medium's perspective, and that's you. So, what are some of your insights in dealing with grief?
Well, I realized years ago, just in my personal practice, my private practice, doing mediumship readings for people, that I really wanted to get more insight into how to manage or help my clients manage grief, because I noticed that when people would come to see me, everybody seemed to be in a different sort of a stage or phase of grief. And okay. I really didn't have the background or the knowledge, so I decided to become certified and licensed in the program that the Grief Recovery Institute offered, and they call it the Grief Recovery Method. And I have to say, it really is a wonderful program, and it okay. really helped me. One of the things that it helped me so much be able to do for my clients was to find the right words to speak to them.
Okay.
You know, there are certain things that people will say if you're grieving, and they don't mean to be insensitive, but sometimes people just don't know. It's amazing, really, how little
they mean
we know
but
in our society.
You just want to clobber them after.
Yeah, you know, so finding the right words and learning really how to manage that, you know, was really helpful for me in my practice. And hopefully it was helpful, you know, for my clients when I really started to embrace some of the stuff that I learned in that program. And another thing that I noticed that I really hadn't thought about prior to taking this course was that when someone has a major loss in their life, let's just say, for instance, it's a woman who has lost her husband.
Right.
And here she is. She's dealing with grief from this loss. She's sad. She's upset. You know, she hasn't really settled back into, you know, back into the norm, so to speak, you know, of life. But what I noticed would be happening is that it wasn't just grief from that loss. We grieve from any loss. And so I was finding that they're very layered. And so say, for instance, this woman now, she's grieving the loss of her husband, but what if he was the breadwinner in the family? And now she's terrified of financial loss. Okay, so now she has that. Or, you know, maybe he was a great protector for her, and now she feels a loss of safety.
Okay.
Or, you know, there's, you know, what am I going to do about? How do I maintain this home, or how do I do this on my own? So there could be something there, you know, the loss of your residence or of your home, or feeling like I'm losing my sanctuary. So the whole thing was, you know, that losses come in layers. And so we're never really just dealing with one. So it's kind of complicated, you know?
Yeah, I can understand that. It's part of that thing is I'm guessing that part of that, what you learned is to do a lot of listening as well, right?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, because everyone experiences this very different. You know, we come from a very different place. Like one of the examples I'll use is, let's say, for instance, you have a sibling, and you and your sibling just lost one of your parents. Well, you're not going to necessarily always feel the same way about that loss. What if you had a wonderful relationship with your parent, but your sibling didn't? You know, so you relate to each other differently, and then what happens is in that process of grief, you also relate to that differently. So, yeah, it's a very unique experience.
Right. So many folks, they think that mediums don't grieve the same as anybody else because you can communicate with your loved one just like picking up the phone. I personally don't believe it. So what are your thoughts on this?
Well, you know, the irony of doing this work is that we actually cannot read for ourselves.
Really?
We can read for everyone else. What we try to do is barter for readings. You know, we'll read for each other. And the whole notion that we don't go through grief, it doesn't really work that way. Grief is an emotional impact. It's not something that affects us intellectually. It always affects us emotionally, right? So even as mediums, even though we do this work, even though we know that, you know, there's something after this lifetime, and we call that the afterlife, we're still feeling the impact, the emotional impact of that loss. And so we're going to grieve just like anyone else. It's really no different for us.
Interesting. Yeah, that's interesting that you said that you can't you can't do mediumship for yourself.
Yeah.
And that's really very profound. You would think that you could.
No, there are times.
You're just too close to the matter.
Right. You can't be subjective, objective about it.
Objective.
I think all of us will feel our loved ones around. but it's not the same. I can't do a reading for myself, so to speak, like I could for someone else. It just doesn't work that way, you know?
Yep. Interesting. So yeah. As a grief counselor, do you see patterns of grief that you can tell us about? I mean, are there certain stages that, you know, in the textbooks they tell us, you know, there's, what is it, denial, acceptance, blah, 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 like right. All the seven stages or whatever. Does it really work like that?
You know, not always. I actually talk about this, and I actually learned this through my training with the Grief okay. Recovery Institute. There are different opinions about that, what you're referring to as stages of grief. And they are, usually those opinions are very widely accepted, like among therapists and, you know, clergy. Mm-hmm. But according to the Grief Recovery Institute, they think that it might be kind of a myth. And the reason they say that is because there really is no orderly progression to grief. You'll have right. reactions to what happened, but it really works different for everyone. It is a process. And like, for instance, yep. you know, some people feel anger. You know, they might experience anger when someone dies.
Right.
Other people might not, because they just had the most wonderful relationship and they were able to say everything that needed to be said and they did everything that was needed, you know, to do. But what happens is, if you set yourself up like to believe that there are stages of grief, then you might try to fit your emotions into what might be non-existent stages. So we have reactions, basically, to what happened. Mm-hmm. You know, but I don't know, the Grief Recovery Institute, they're kind of, you know, they're on the fence about that. They don't really like to call it stages of grief. Remember, we're all different, right?
Yeah, I think that's the main thing, is that we are all different. I mean, yeah. You know, when I was going through my grieving process, when my son crossed over, we went, you know, the first person that, you know, almost like in the Yellow Pages, okay, let's right. go to this person. And she came into the room saying, you're going to go through this, then this, then this, then this. And I said to her, no, I'm going to go walk out the door right now. And
oh,
I just left her in the dust.
It
was not what I wanted to hear, not what I, you know, it's. So mm-hmm. I totally don't think that, I think, like you said, I think it's very different for depending yeah. on the person.
Absolutely.
And that's where the listening comes in and becomes very, very important.
Right.
Okay, great. Well, so can you tell me what percentage of your clients are bereaved and coming to you for help with their grief, and what percentage are just, like, curious about the afterlife?
Well, most of them want to hear from someone specific, or okay. at least a couple of people, you know.
Right.
It's hard for me to say the percentage because I offer different types of readings. I don't only do mediumship. And so I also do, you know, psychic readings, and sometimes people just yeah. want to talk about their love life, or, you know, they're looking for insight into business or their career path.
Right.
But the ones who do request mediumship, they really have specific people in mind that they're hoping to hear from. So it's not like a curious thing or a random thing.
Mm-hmm.
In most cases, they do want to hear from special people.
Okay, whereas if you're doing the more of the psychic stuff, it's probably more curious, correct?
Yeah, well, I don't know. I'm not quite sure how to answer that, because I have to say that when people request a reading, any kind of reading, it's uh-huh. usually about serious stuff. I mean, they usually have stuff going on. It's not like, oh, it might be fun to talk to a psychic. Let's, you know, kind of like when you do it on the boardwalk. Kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Usually they don't contact me for that. They usually have very specific things in mind. So it's interesting, you know.
Right. And, yeah, I mean, your bio listed the many talents that you do have. So are there, which of these talents do you rely on the most to help your bereaved clients? Like the ones that, that come to you, you know, with grief.
You know, I think it's just important for any medium to really have strong compassion for people and to understand
yeah.
that, you know, maybe, you know, they may not be still 100% able to, you know, take part in life fully.
Right.
They might not be 100% able to really actually hear what it is you're telling them. You know, it's amazing. Sometimes when people request mediumship, they are looking for very specific information, you know, and the medium might be getting something else. And so we always tell them, and all of my colleagues do this as well, to try really to when you approach a mediumship reading, to try to do so with an open mind.
Right.
You know, and just be open to what the information is that comes through, because even though you might be expecting one thing and you're getting something else, whatever the medium is sharing is important. There's a reason why that person in the afterlife is showing us certain things or telling us things or what, you know, whatever it is that we're sharing. So we really never know. I mean, it's a free-form thing. We just open ourselves and we see what comes through.
And I'm going to ask you something. What about those on the other side? I mean, they're also separated from their loved ones that are still in the physical.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me what, you know, what they go through. What has been in your experience from their perspective?
Well, there's a couple of things I'll say about that. First of all, I'm not going to know what it's like there until I get there myself.
Of course.
So there's that aspect of it. But what's interesting about what you asked is, like sometimes people, one of the questions I've gotten pretty often from people is, do they miss us too? Are they missing us as much as we're missing them? And honestly, I think the answer is no, not really, because remember that they're around us. They're able to see us and hear us. They know what's going on. And so they're still a part of what's taking place here and able to, you know, kind of view that, whereas with us, we're limited.
But it must be kind of frustrating for them to not be able to, I mean, I have a glass here right in front of me, my glass of water.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you're a spirit here beside me, you know, like my son hopefully is here beside me, he can't lift up that glass of water.
Right.
You know what I mean? So it must be kind of frustrating for those on the other side. I mean, they can probably do a hell of a lot more things than we can do from everything that I've read.
I think they try to give us signs, signals, you know, little messages. And they find ways of, you know, of doing that. So
yeah, now,
but we have to watch for it, you know.
Yeah, that's pretty interesting. Does the amount and the strength of the messages, does that diminish over time? Because today my first cousin from Chicago called me and he said that his father passed away. He had a very long life, 92 years old.
Mm-hmm.
He had a great, very nice guy. Everything's good, you know. And my cousin, who's like in his 50s like I am, you know, I asked him, how you doing? He's doing, I'm doing great, you know. I just want to let you know that my father passed away. And, well, I went and I told him right away. I said, okay, well, you know what? Just look for signs. Look for signs because it's been my experience that they're stronger at the beginning. Then as time goes by, they get, you know, less and they get weaker. That's my personal experience. Now, do you think I told him the right thing or should I be calling him back and say, X-nay that. It's not that.
You know, it's different for everyone.
Okay.
It's just a different, excuse me, it's a different experience.
Right. Well, I mean, that was, and I told him that was my experience. Because at first, when my son crossed over, we got some pretty strong signs, you know, when I learned how to look for it. And, you know, now it's, that doesn't happen very often, but once in a while it happens, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, so, it is, and we have to watch for it, you know.
Yeah, and I think it's also, you know, as time goes by, you kind of heal a little bit, you know. I mean, my loss was devastating. It was my son, who was 5 years old, and it's going to be 11 years. So, I mean, a considerable amount of time has passed by since that happened, but you know. It's still, I'm still grieving, though, you know, don't get me wrong, I'm still there,
right.
But it has, the waves are getting smaller as well, you know, it's kind of like the signs are in tandem with the waves of grief kind of thing, you know, there's less signs, but I'm also experiencing less grief, maybe on the other side, they know, and they send you what you need kind of thing, you know?
Yeah, and I think it does kind of change you know, with time. It can soften. Your grief softens. But, you know, the connection's always there. The connection is always there. Love is forever. You know, relationships are forever, right? So it's always there. We just have to kind of focus in differently.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Words of wisdom. And you know what? We're going to go to a quick commercial break. We've got a lot more interesting things to discuss. And again, so it's just, you know, we're going to have a word from our sponsors, so stick around, and we'll be right back. Thank you.
The Camlack Center is putting birth and death back together again. Aimed at changing the way we look at death, the Camlack Center was founded in 2002 as a publishing company and teaching center. When we know that there is nothing but life, we realize that birth and death are events in time and space. Our grief can open us to other dimensions of reality and allow us to experience our loved ones who are no longer in the physical body. Our events and products are based on personal experiences of survival of consciousness after physical death and decades of research into how death has influenced the development of our consciousness. Visit www.camlack.com, that's K-A-M-L-A-K.com, for articles, videos, books, and more to help you cope with the loss of a loved one.
We all grieve in different ways, and let's face it, grief hurts. Losing a loved one is usually the hardest event we will ever face. We can throw our hands up and become hardened by our grief, or we can take positive steps to transform it. Love Knows No Death, a groundbreaking and powerful grief transformation method, can be what you've been looking for to provide some peace and understanding. It was created and written by medical doctor and professor Dr. Piero Calvi Perazzetti, and it's a combination of a self-help workbook and video course. The workbook has the power to lessen grief and foster significant healing, and has already helped countless people to not only lead productive lives, but to do so with the knowledge that they will indeed see their loved ones again. The workbook can be purchased for $19.95 on Amazon or on the ForeverFamilyFoundation.org grief and loss page, where a digital version is also available for $9.95. Love knows no death. Truer words have never been spoken.
Imagine seeing spirits are spontaneously speaking indigenous Brazilian rainforest languages. Janet Mayer, a psychic medium, does just that. In her new book, Spirits, They Are Present, she opens the door to her private life in order to share her compelling, fearful, and at times humorous journey, providing evidence that when we die, we simply make a transition to another life. Spirits, They Are Present, available now at www.janetmayer.net, Amazon, and other online booksellers. Order your copy today.
When grieving the loss of a loved one, sometimes a hug is just what you need. Hugs from Heaven are lightly weighted shoulder wraps that are made from the fabric of your loved one's clothing. Your clothing can also be made into memory pillows and sachets. Each Hugs from Heaven is handmade with loving care and is as unique as your loved one's spirit. Visit us at hugsfromheaven.com. That's hugs, spelled with a Z, from heaven.com. Who couldn't use a hug?
Am I Psychic is a mobile app designed using statistics, science, and parapsychological protocols to test psychic ability using fun games. Each game has two unique modes. In psychokinesis mode, influence the game using mind over matter ability. In extrasensory perception mode, guess which random option will be chosen. Am I Psychic can store your results in an anonymous database used to eventually publish in academic journals. Available on the App Store and Google Play. Go to ampsychicapp.com and be a part of proving psychic phenomena to the world. Some profits will be donated to the Rhine Research Center.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by Forever Family Foundation.
And welcome back, everybody. My name is Roman Karpyshka. I am here with the medium Doreen Malloy, and we were talking about grief from the perspective of a medium and a grief recovery specialist, and we touch on some interesting topics about that just before our commercial break. So we're just going to continue on this and just, you know, kind of see where it goes. Are you still with us, Doreen?
I'm here.
You're there?
I'm right here.
Great.
Mm-hmm.
Great. Yeah, the reception's pretty good tonight. So, I was just wondering if there is there an optimal state of grief that somebody should be in when they come and see you? Amount of time that should pass by. You know what I mean?
What we try to do is, and most of my colleagues do this as well, we try to advise people to wait at least a couple of months after you've lost someone, because, you know, when you're first going through grief, it's very hard to focus. It's just hard to focus on everything. And, you know, once you start to get back into the swing of life again and just your routine, then it's kind of, and it might be a little bit different for everybody. You know, maybe somebody needs a little bit more time than someone else. But wait at least a couple of months so that you're able to really hear whatever it is that the medium is getting and sharing with you. So you have to really kind of be aware of what's coming through. You know, so a few months, that's a good time frame.
Okay. And my follow-up question along the same lines is there a good interval of time that, you know, between readings that should be respected?
It kind of depends. It's some people have so many people on the other side that once they start doing this, they want to do it all the time because they're hoping to hear from a whole bunch, you know, of people.
Yeah.
I think it's always a good idea to wait a few months at least, you know, in between readings. And I also advise my clients of that even with psychic readings.
Okay.
So if I'm not even connecting with spirit, but I'm doing psychic readings, if I read for you this week and you scheduled another reading next week, the odds are I'm probably going to get the same things I got for you the first reading, you know. So it's a good idea to kind of wait a little bit of time.
Yeah. That's good that you don't want to waste people. You're not leading people to waste their money or whatever. I mean, I'm sure there are those shingle hanging charlatans out there that would love to repeat customers.
Right.
Yeah, come back tomorrow. Come back the next day.
Right.
You know, but and that's, you know, that's given mediumship a kind of a bad name. There's a lot of skeptics out there, and those are the first type of examples that they cite when they're talking about the, you know.
Right.
About the,
but, you know, that's true, I think, almost for any profession where, you know, no matter what the profession is, you're going to have one or two that are, you know, not good every once in a while, whether it's doctors or lawyers or accountants or, you know, anyone. But
now,
go ahead.
Now, oh, okay. I'm sorry I just wanted to blurt this out before I forget my train of thought. We're talking about professions and stuff like that. You're saying that, you know, you studied, you did some formal studies with the whole grief process and grief recovery and all of that.
Right.
So that kind of is self-explanatory. There's courses that you take and this and that, and you learn about it and you get better at it with time and practice. But what about the mediumship part of it? Like, how did that come to you? I mean, that's an important part of what you do. And how did you develop that over time?
Well, I actually studied with a trance medium from England who would come to the United States. Usually it was about twice a year. And he would offer these, you know, training modules in mediumship. And I studied with him for a while. And that was very helpful for me because I was already getting the information. I was already, you know, very highly aware of spirit. But part of the whole mediumship process is also being able to interpret what you're getting.
Okay.
And also deliver the information in such a way that the person that you're reading for really understands it. So it's there's a process. There's a lot of different things that, you know, happen in that whole process of mediumship. And so when I realized that this was the path I was on and this was the direction I was going to be going in, I was very fortunate enough to, you know, find someone to study with. And he was very helpful for me. And then it just really kind of accelerated for me very quickly.
Like a lot of the mediums that I've spoken to, or not a lot, but some have said mm-hmm. that, you know, that they had this gift from when they were very, very young. And at first they were scared of it. They didn't know what to do with it. And
right.
they tried to squash it and just forget about it. But then mm-hmm. it kind of, you know, something happened and they just turned it around and used it to their, you know, used it to help others instead. Is that kind of like what happened to you? Like, were you?
No, actually it didn't. Actually, I'm glad you brought that up because there are different types of mediums. Now, what
okay.
you just described, right, that you heard mm-hmm. from some of the other mediums, those are natural-born mediums. And what
okay.
happens is they're able to perceive spirit at, you know, when they're babies, very young age.
Mm-hmm.
But some people develop later in life. And there are different types of mediums. The ones that develop later generally are called mental mediums, and that's where I fit in.
Okay.
And so I was psychic. And
mm-hmm.
I was actually doing psychic readings. I do tarot readings, and I was doing that for about 10 years. And all of a sudden, I started to hear spirit. And so the mediumship kind of kicked in. And so I went, this is interesting. I need to
yeah.
look into this a little bit more, you know.
Now,
so that's how
it's mm-hmm. this tarot thing, let's dive into that a little bit. I mean, it's a deck of cards that has different pictures. I know very, very little about it. And
okay.
So, yeah, it would be a really interesting thing to kind of inform our listeners what, I mean, how does that whole thing work?
So tarot is just one of many forms of divination. And so divination is the process by which we predict the future.
Okay,
we, you know, we get this full picture of everything that's going on now, but also the things that haven't happened yet and what's
okay.
coming up for you. What makes tarot different from other cards is there are 78 cards in the deck, and the imagery, there's thousands of decks because there's so many artists out there that make them.
Okay.
But the imagery,
are they consistent, though? Like, you know, there's 78 cards.
Right. They all have the same number of cards, and they have the theme is the same, but the
okay.
artwork is very, very different. So, you know,
right.
you might
okay.
get, you might find that you resonate really well with one type of deck as opposed to, you know, others.
Interesting. Like Harry Potter with his wand.
Well, see, now, I don't know about Harry Potter.
Tarot. Like he had in the movie, the first movie, which was the best of all the Harry Potter movies,
uh-huh.
it's the wand that chose him. You know what I mean?
There you go.
So it's kind of like that.
So what happens with tarot is you lay out a card spread. I mean, it takes quite a while to really master it, and you lay out your card spread, and the imagery on the cards. What it does is it really has the ability to open up your psychic sensory pathways and allow information to flow that maybe normally you wouldn't be aware of. And so you start to get, you know, all these images in your mind's eye, and you may hear things or feel things or see things, or, you know, you get input from all different ways.
Mm-hmm.
But that's, the tarot is just a tool that
right.
helps a psychic to work.
So, yeah, I mean, personally, I've never experienced tarot. I've never done it or anything like that. I'm just too scared of drawing that death card. It's my biggest fear. What, you know, and it would probably be the first card, you know, knowing my luck.
Well, I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to share a little secret with you just to
okay.
put your mind at ease.
Okay.
The death card, what it means is transition. That's all. It doesn't have to mean someone's going to die, you know,
okay.
or that you're going to die. It can represent death, but in most
right.
cases, it represents transition, major transition.
But you mean like, not necessarily like transition to spirit, but transition
no,
in
no.
your life to
mm-hmm.
something different.
Right. So you know how every week we go through little changes, right? You know, small things happen. Well, transition are the bigger changes. You know, you're
okay.
going to, you know, buy a new
get
house.
Get a new job.
Get a new job, or you're going to get married, or you're going to get divorced, or, you know, there's like some big things going on
okay.
that, you know, will be indicated by that. So if that card comes up, that's typically what it's about.
Oh, what it means, okay.
It means
well,
that there's major transition. See, I just made you relax about that whole thing.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. It's but within the 78 tarot cards, the themes of each card, each of the 78, will be consistent from deck to deck. Just the way that they're drawn would be different.
The way they're drawn, right, the artwork is different,
yeah.
But the intrinsic meaning is supposed to stay pretty close.
Right,
there could be
right,
slight
right.
differences, you know. But, yeah, it's very fascinating. And I also teach a tarot, an introduction to tarot workshop. And actually, that's the most fun workshop I teach. I love that one.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure it's very fun.
It's a lot of fun. Mm-hmm.
Do you teach that? Is that an online thing or is that like an in-person thing that you teach?
So I can do it both ways. If people are located, you know, reasonably close to me, they'll come in person.
Right.
And I can teach the workshop that way. I'm offering personal workshops right now instead of groups.
Okay.
And if they are not local, then I can do it online via GoToMeeting. And then
well, your online stuff must be booming right now because of the situation that we're in.
Oh, yeah.
Everything's
mm-hmm.
online. Schooling, I'm working online from work, you know, it's all
right.
Everything's
well,
online.
The workshops are always online because I have PowerPoint presentations for everything.
Okay.
All of the workshops that I teach, and it's fun, though. That's it's a nice workshop, that one. It's a lot of fun.
Now, when you do readings, by, you know, tarot readings or whatever kind of readings that you do,
mm-hmm.
is there an optimal level of mindset that you were saying earlier about, you know, being an open mind, coming in with an open mind, all that kind of
mm-hmm.
stuff, and I agree with that. But from a conscious perspective, is there an optimal level that needs to be achieved for, like, you know, the best results?
Are you talking about the results of the actual reading itself?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, let's say from the sitter's perspective, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Does the sitter have to do, okay, we already know that, you know, let a couple of months pass by after your, you know, the,
mm-hmm.
the tragedy so you can kind of start getting back into life and all of that. But once you do go to a reading, is there
mm-hmm.
an optimal mindset that the reader, the client
I think
should be
the
in
only thing, get, yeah, I know what you're saying. The only
okay.
thing I would recommend is to just be open. Be open to the information that comes through and also be open to the person that comes through because, you know, I may get the person that you're most wanting to hear from, but then I may get somebody else that you really weren't expecting at all.
Interesting.
You know, so an openness, I think, to the information that comes through is a
mm-hmm.
great way to approach a reading when you're seeking out a medium. So, you know,
very
to just kind of be open.
Wow. Well, that's great, and this is going to lead me into a whole different type of questions that I have for you. So
mm-hmm.
we're going to go to another break because it's 20 of, and readers, I mean, stay with us, dear audience, so that we can, you know, continue this wonderful conversation with Doreen Molloy, and we will be right back after a quick word from our sponsors.
The CAMLAC Center is putting birth and death back together again. Aimed at changing the way we look at death, the CAMLAC Center was founded in 2002 as a publishing company and teaching center. When we know that there is nothing but life, we realize that birth and death are events in time and space. Our grief can open us to other dimensions of reality and allow us to experience our loved ones who are no longer in the physical body. Our events and products are based on personal experiences of survival of consciousness after physical death and decades of research into how death has influenced the development of our consciousness. Visit www.camlac.com, that's KAMLAK.com for articles, videos, books, and more to help you cope with the loss of a loved one.
Hello, I am Lloyd Auerbach, parapsychologist and author. You can learn much more about life after death, precognition, mind-matter interactions, remote viewing, ghost hunting, and other psychic experiences and research through the acclaimed Distance Learning Parapsychological Studies program at HCH Institute. Our courses are audio-based with additional written and video material. Call HCH at 925-283-3941 or visit www.hypnotherapytraining.com. Our courses include The Search for Life After Death, Being Psychic, Psychokinesis and Precognition, Ghost Hunting, theories and models of psychic experience, and more. Taken singly or as part of the certificate program, these courses will enrich your knowledge of parapsychology and the range of psychic phenomena. You'll learn about being psychic yourself. Visit www.hypnotherapytraining.com or call 925-283-3941 for information about our individual distance learning courses and certificate program. Hello, I am Lloyd Auerbach, parapsychologist and author. You can learn much more about life after death, precognition, mind-matter interactions, remote viewing, ghost hunting, and other psychic experiences and research through the acclaimed Distance Learning Parapsychological Studies program at HCH Institute. Our courses are audio-based with additional written and video material. Call HCH at 925-283-3941 or visit www.hypnotherapytraining.com. Our courses include The Search for Life After Death, Being Psychic, Psychokinesis and Precognition, Ghost Hunting, Theories and Models of Psychic Experience, and more. Taken singly or as part of the certificate program, these courses will enrich your knowledge of parapsychology and the range of psychic phenomena. You'll learn about being psychic yourself. Visit www.hypnotherapytraining.com or call 925-283-3941 for information about our individual distance learning courses and certificate program.
Hello, my name's Piero Calvi Parisetti, MD. I invite you to discover my video course on Evidence for Life After Life, a professional counseling resource for the bereaved and the dying.
Transform the fear of death. Heal the pain of a loss by learning about life after life.
For more information and a free preview, visit www.drparisetti.com. That's drparisetti in one word.
We all grieve in different ways, and let's face it, grief hurts. Losing a loved one is usually the hardest event we will ever face. We can throw our hands up and become hardened by our grief, or we can take positive steps to transform it. Love knows no death. A groundbreaking and powerful grief transformation method can be what you've been looking for to provide some peace and understanding. It was created and written by medical doctor and professor Dr. Piero Calvi Parisetti, and it's a combination of a self-help workbook and video course. The workbook has the power to lessen grief and foster significant healing, and has already helped countless people to not only lead productive lives, but to do so with the knowledge that they will indeed see their loved ones again. The workbook could be purchased for $19.95 on Amazon or on the foreverfamilyfoundation.org grief and loss page, where a digital version is also available for $9.95. Love knows no death. Truer words have never been spoken.
I would like to introduce you to the Forever Family Foundation, a nonprofit organization whose mission is to provide support for families who have suffered the loss of a loved one. We believe in the continuity of the family, even though a member has left the physical world. We invite anyone who's trying to cope with the loss of a loved one to contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707 or on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by Forever Family Foundation.
All right, welcome back, everybody. We are talking to Doreen Molloy, and we were talking about grief from the perspective of a medium, and had some really interesting spin-off conversations. So we have now we have a caller. And I believe her name is Margaret. So let's get Margaret to ask a few questions. Welcome to the show, Margaret.
Hello.
Hello, Margaret. Welcome to the show.
Hi. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you very well.
We can hear you.
Okay. Hi, Margaret. I have a question for Doreen. She just
sure.
said be open when you do a reading.
Mm-hmm.
But how do you relax and how do you do that? Because I've had a reading. I went to see John Edwards, and he actually picked me, but I just froze. I couldn't answer him. How do you open yourself up to that?
Okay, so how do you open yourself up from your perspective is what you're asking?
Yes.
As the person
how do you
read for.
What,
So yes. To just kind of be open to whatever information comes through, but it's very important when a medium is giving you information, we need to have your feedback. So if I share something with you, I need for you to tell me how you understand it or acknowledge for me, oh, I know what you mean, or yes, I understand that. And to just kind of be open and listen to the information that's coming through, because I don't know if you heard the show a little bit earlier. I had mentioned that sometimes people want to hear only very specific things, or maybe even one specific thing. But sometimes spirit wants to share other information. And remember something also. The reason that we do this work is to provide some level of evidence that consciousness survives physical death, okay? And so one of the things that typically comes through very clearly in a reading is someone's personality traits. Just like the way they were in life is the way they're going to come through from the other side. And that's also going to provide you with some evidence that we're connecting with the person you're hoping to hear from, or the person, like, you're recognizing certain things as we're giving you, you know, bits and pieces of information. So just be open to whatever comes through. I know it could be a little bit intimidating if you're in a big group like that, or someone, you know, would, I know John personally. John and I have worked together, so I know what right. that feels like, you know, to kind of be in that environment. But if you find that, you know, that happens again, or you go to, like, a large group session, to just kind of be open to what's coming through.
It was my first time, and I never, and it was only about 6 months after my husband passed, and I was just, it was on our anniversary too, when it just, I don't know, it was just overwhelming for me.
Yeah, you know what? Sometimes the opposite thing happens too, because sometimes you think like, oh, that can't possibly be for me. He must be talking to somebody else, you know? So just try to relax into that process and just listen and just kind of go with the flow. There's really, because there's nothing for you to do. Interestingly enough, there's nothing that you can do to prepare, right, if you go to a session like that. And the flip side is true also, because the medium has no way of knowing what's going to come through ahead of time. So there's no way that we can prepare either when we're about to do a big group, or even if it's a private reading for someone. I have no idea what it is I'm going to say. I have no idea what's going to come through. So what happens is I really have to fine-tune my focus into that frequency of the afterlife to connect with the person that, you know, you want to connect with, and then I just open myself to, you know, whatever they want to share.
So, like, when I did that John Edwards one, it wasn't my husband that came through. It was an aunt, and I wasn't expecting that. I was expecting to hear from him.
Right.
And I guess,
and you know what, if you started a dialogue and John came to you, right, and you were able to acknowledge and you started to give him that feedback, the odds are that your husband probably would have stepped forward as well.
Right.
So, you know, you want to try to make a flow of information between you and between the medium. So, you know, keep that in mind.
They say to do meditation. So are you supposed to do meditation before you have a reading, or
you can
all the time?
You can. If you're seeking out a medium for a reading, you could do a nice little meditation if you can. Now, remember, meditation is just relaxation. That's it. I mean, you can use it as a tool as well if you wanted to go beyond that. But to just do some nice deep breathing, a little bit of a meditation, doesn't have to be long, 5 to 10 minutes. Feel that connection. Envision your loved one in your mind's eye. Feel the connection to them. Ask them to come through. Ask them to provide you with some level of evidence that it's them. You know, and then you just kind of see what happens. But, yeah, meditation is always nice to do, and also it really helps you to relax, you know, before you're embarking on that little bit of a journey there.
Okay.
Well, thank you very much, Margaret. That was a very interesting line of questioning and some very good advice from Doreen. Thanks for your call very much.
Alrighty.
How do we... have gone on her way.
I'm sorry, Margaret, you're cutting out. Can you repeat that?
How do we get a reading with Doreen?
Just go to my website.
Yeah.
Go to my website at DoreenMolloy.com, and I spell my last name M-O-L-L-O-Y, DoreenMolloy.com, and you'll find lots of good info there, and you can schedule an appointment right from there.
Okay. I've done that, but I haven't heard back yet. So how long does that take?
Well, because there's a bit of a wait. When did you reach out to me? Do you know?
Oh, probably a couple of months ago. And I know my daughter also did last year.
Yeah. It's been a little bit crazy. I'm a little bit backed up. Send another, fill out the appointment form again. Send an email, and I'll see if I can get to you. All right. But thanks so much for calling into the show, Margaret. I hope this helped a little bit.
Thank you very much, Margaret. Okay, well, that was interesting. So, listen, before we end the show, there's one more topic I want to talk about. People have, you know, a good way to connect, I believe, is through dreams.
Absolutely.
And what do you think of that? What can you say to our listeners that, you know, want to try to connect? Is there an optimal guide to do that, to connect?
There is. So as far as I'm aware, there's only two ways to make a connection. One is through meditation, and the other way is through dreams. So even for us mediums, I mean, we're doing a little bit of meditation when we're doing a reading for someone. But for most people, what I think it's important for them to know is that your loved ones in the afterlife, the easiest way for them to communicate with you is through the dream state. And the reason for that is because your brain waves need to really be slow. You need to slow everything down because that's what happens in meditation. But think about when you're in the dream state, you know, your brain waves are at their very slowest, you know, because you're sleeping. And so how to create the connection? When you go to bed at night, ask for a connection. Tell them that you love them, you miss them, and you really want to know that they're okay and will they come and visit you. So the first thing to do is to ask. The second thing is to remind yourself that you'll wake up feeling energized and refreshed. Because, you know, at night when you're sleeping, you're doing a lot of things in your dream state. And so now you're asking for one more thing, you know, to take place. So remind yourself, you'll wake up feeling energized and refreshed. And the most important one is number three. Say to yourself, I'll wake up remembering my dreams.
That's the hardest one. That's the hardest part right there.
It is.
That's what everybody forgets to do. Because when you first wake up, you remember it clear as a day. You know, you can recall everything that happened, and then something else happens, and then three seconds later you forgot. It's out.
Yeah,
it's gone.
Sometimes people don't remember their dreams at all. They don't wake up remembering anything, you know. So you have to kind of program that. This is called auto-suggestion. All it is your conscious mind giving an instruction to your subconscious mind, you know. And so you're going to tend to listen to that and practice. It's like anything else. You've got to practice it.
Yeah, some people also suggest having a tape recorder on your nightstand or a note, a pad and paper so that you can write down to jog your memory.
You can do that as well.
Because that's the hardest part. It's remembering.
Yeah.
Because
it's
convinced your loved ones come to you every night. You just don't remember it.
Right. It's like anything else. You really got to practice it. And don't give up. If you ask to have this connection, you know, it doesn't happen the first time. Don't give up. You know, just kind of do that every night when you go to bed, and you'll start to see that you're beginning to remember things, you know. And when people visit us from the afterlife in the dream state, and we do have recall, it could be very vivid. You know, it's a very different, it's not the same as a typical dream.
Yep, I've had a few with my son, and I can remember every one of them. There was maybe, you know, five or six that I can really remember. And, but I'm sure he's visited me a lot more times than that.
Probably, yeah. And, you know, again, it's about practicing having the recall when you wake up in the morning.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah. part three is, I think, the most, you know, because the other two things is, you know, asking, you know, they're just, you put out the question and you make yourself available. The third part is the work that belongs to you. It's your mm-hmm. effort that you have to put in to mm-hmm. remember all of that. So, yeah, it's tough. I still haven't mastered it.
Not easy, and sometimes, no. You know, it doesn't matter whether you're getting a connection to your loved one through dreams or through meditation, but either way, it takes a little bit of practice.
Yeah, and in the meantime, you know, I remember the stupidest dreams ever, and those are the ones you remember.
Right.
It's just
this
the way
true.
It works, you know,
this
like the important ones and the dumbest ones where you're doing really weird things or whatever, those are the ones you remember. Mm-hmm. Anyhow, that's the way it goes.
That's it.
You know what?
Practice.
It's been such a pleasure talking to you, Doreen, and, you know, a lot of insights. We had a lot of good discussions today, and before we say goodbye, I just, you know, want to just let everybody know one more time that, you know, DoreenMalloy.com, D-O-R-E-E-N Malloy, M-O-L-L-O-Y.com. I'm sure if you even Google Doreen Malloy, it'll mm-hmm. give you many links to your websites and all that kind of thing. So please, you know, she's the real thing. Give her, you know, make an appointment with her, and she'll definitely help you out for sure. And with that,
well, thank you so much, Roman. It was great to be back with you again.
Oh, it was great to be back with you too.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so good night, everybody. Stay safe out there from this zombie apocalypse, and we will talk to you soon. Thank you very much.